Hello and welcome back to the Evolution Pod Club. I want to start by talking more about love. You cannot evolve without love, and how fitting that evolve starts with the word love spelled backwards. You need to understand that everything you're doing is born from love. Everything in this universe is based in love. There is no real darkness. Any darkness you are experiencing or seeing others experience is coming from the belief that this is a dark universe we're living in. You believe that based on what you see that makes you feel bad or feel icky or feel heartbroken. But all of it is part of the design of moving from fear to love in physical reality. You came here to feel that contrast. You came here to dive in headfirst into the negative emotions that the darkness brings you. You asked for it. You couldn't wait. And in doing so, you asked yourselves to find a way to see the perfection in all of the madness, to see how you're the creator. If something is happening on the other side of the world that hurts your heart, it is only a part of your reality in so much as it affects you while you read the news or you see a short clip. We're not saying to be heartless. We are saying to have faith that everything is happening for a reason, that each being on the planet has purposely set themselves up to feel the hurdle so they may get on this journey of discovering who they truly are, that each person truly is an eternal being of love and acceptance. And the fact that you are here right now means that you are ready to find out what that means while you are in your physical body. You had such strong pre-birth intentions that you chose not to wait until death to experience the freedom of being without resistance. You are seeking that resistant-free life now while you are living it. And we say that is a powerful journey and one you are going to enjoy recalling when you get back to the non-physical. We say, find a way to accept what is happening, not approve of what's happening necessarily, but have faith that you cannot know what anyone else is here to do. Just as they cannot know what you are here to do, you cannot control anyone else. They cannot control you. You cannot create in their realities. They cannot create in yours. So to try and do so would only be to add more fear to your reality. And when they try to control you, they're adding fear to their reality. But you can stop the momentum by being in alignment and seeing their urges as simply a result of their limiting beliefs. Seeing that their urges to control you have nothing to do with you. You are simply a mirror for them, just as they are a mirror for you. You worry about what people think. We are not sure you are completely tuned in to this as much as you think you are. You may think you kind of worry about what other people think. You may think that is only true in certain situations. But if you were to admit to yourself how much you really do seek approval, validation, adoration, respect, or appreciation from others, we think you would be astounded. And we would like to say, whatever you are doing or however you are being to attract approval from others, you are doing so inauthentically. You are playing a part. You are creating a persona that you think people will like. Because if you are being authentic, you would simply express love. That's all you would do all the time. And if you were expressing love, it wouldn't matter what they thought of you. It wouldn't matter if others saw you as successful or interesting or talented or funny or smart or cool. You would know that you are a unique expression of source energy, beaming love onto everyone. And any opinion anyone had that felt limiting would only be a result of their opinions of themselves. The thing is, no one is judging who you truly are. They're only judging who you are showing yourself to be, your inauthentic self, and they're only perceiving it through their limited perspective. If they knew they were a version of source energy, they would see that you were a version of source energy, and they would be able to accept you and love you for everything you do, every choice you make, every action you take, and who you truly are. But they can't see that right now. So it may feel like you're being judged. It may feel like you can be rejected. As source, you cannot be rejected. You cannot be rejected. You can only believe you are being rejected and feel negative emotions, but you are not. No one can see you, and they're simply acting in accordance to what your vibration is offering. Start seeing that you're loved, that you do not need to prove yourself, that you are already perfect, whole, and worthy, that any definitions you use to describe yourself, whether it be nice or funny, brilliant, those are all limiting and they are all manufactured in order to be accepted. You are the creator, that you are not a victim and things are not happening to you to make you feel bad. Things that make you feel bad are just showing you that you have limiting beliefs. Everything is happening for you, and you are learning what it means to be source. You are learning what it means to be God by living in love. That's what you're doing here. And then you'll take what you learned into your next life and expand upon that. And you'll do it again and over and over and over again. And I can't wait to do that over and over again with my next guest who brought me to these teachings and this perspective. She is part of my spirit family, making me the most fortunate human on the planet. And guess what? If you are listening to this, she's a part of your spirit family as well. So please welcome me, embracing, loving the one and only Shoshana Bean. And I just like to add that if you don't know Shoshana Bean, you've never heard her singing or seen her perform or watched her in all her glory, just please Google her and you'll find out real, real fast. And then download her albums, KK. Great, 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 great. I just want to say hi, Shoshana.
Hi, my friend. That was beautiful.
I love you.
Love you.
Thank you for being here.
Oh my God, of course. Thank you for having me. I'm so proud of you.
That means the world to me. I love when you say that. It makes me feel good because I care what you think. I care.
I can relate.
Right?
Yeah, and we have that in common. What do we say? We're in recovery.
You say, you brought this to me and it was so brilliant when you were channeling this idea that we are recovering control addicts.
And recovering people pleasers as well. Like we
correct. And it's a process because we are in recovery. So still people pleasers, still controlling, but in recovery. And for everyone who's listening, you know, this is how Shoshana and I talk all day, every day. This is not just Shoshana coming on the podcast to sort of play around with these ideas and indulge. Shosha. My Hebrew name is also Shoshana. So Shoshana brought me to these teachings, as I said, and we now navigate through life, constantly playing with how we're feeling, how it relates to new perspectives. Sometimes we feel like indulging in the feelings. Sometimes we're ready to shift into a higher perspective right away. It just depends on what's going on. But this is how we hold hands in life together. Would you agree?
Love that. Yes, 100%. Aren't we lucky?
I mean, so lucky. And so, now everyone listening in is lucky too, because they can be, you know, be a part of this conversation with us or their friends or anyone they want to be. As long as I've known you, you've been on this journey. And I just wanted to ask, when for you did it start?
You know, I remember being really young and my mom, you know, in her efforts to sort of navigate divorce, and my dad was an addict. And so trying to navigate her own healing, while with him, then once they were divorced, all of that. And she was always so open. I just remember books, rolling my eyes at all the books that she would buy, the titles of these books. I remember being dragged to conferences, which is really funny because I remember distinctly a Mary Mannon Morrissey conference, who is an incredible spiritual teacher, who I then, once I was on my own spiritual journey and living here in LA, going to Agape, Mary Mannon was one of the speakers, one of the guests at Agape. And I'm like, Mom, I swear to God, when I was younger. So really, I have to give credit to my open-mindedness and my quest for, like, my curiosity and my like constant quest to keep expanding and learning and growing. I got to give that to my mom. Mm. Because she was, you know, she was always dipping a toe in it. You know, she's in this process and on this journey with us now as well. She's got her resistances and her reticence and, but she's doing it, you know, at her own pace and in her own time. But like, it's always so inspiring and fascinating to see an older generation be willing to adopt new perspectives and new beliefs. So I'm proud of both of my parents in that way.
Amen.
Is sober now at 21, almost 22 years sober. And to see his spiritual journey through AA and his surrender and his faith and, you know, all very similar language. I realize how lucky I am to have two parents who want to continue to grow and expand and be the best versions of themselves and live the best possible lives they can. It's not just, you know, it is being the best version of yourself because it's the highest, but it's also just like, you can attest, and I'm sure you say on every episode, like how much richer life is, how much deeper the connections are, how much happier just in general every day we are. So I love seeing my parents do that. So again, I think the beginning of it for me, those seeds were planted really early, even though, like I said, I was a teenager. I thought it was annoying. I thought it was, I don't know if I thought it was weak. Like if I really judged my mom's process for a long time. And then I think that, I can't remember where it really, really started for me. Cause I just don't think religion for me, I just don't think Judaism ever filled that void. That's, it just, it was, it's tradition and it's family and it's almost duty in a way. Like we had to go to Hebrew school. We had to be prepared for our bar and bat mitzvahs. We had to go to USY, whatever the things were. Right. And then at the point where it was up to me, I kind of was like, I'm out here just floating with no raft of like, because it's Judaism for me. And I saw it. I took courses in college, Jewish studies courses, trying to find my way in. And then it was like, well, maybe I'll find it in like a Kojic church. Maybe I'll find it like Broadway gospel choir. Maybe saying the name Jesus is actually more connected for me. And in a lot of ways it was, but it was more the communion and the community and the music and the, you know, we don't get to let it rip in Judaism. It's, you know, it's all very controlled so I couldn't find it in Judaism, I guess, is the bottom line. And then just great coaches. I just landed in the right hands and was led to the right books. And it just has continued to evolve from teacher to teacher. And of course, Gary is the latest in the line of sort of spiritual guides and teachers that has continued to expand this conversation. So that was
It was so perfect. And there were so many things, man, I was right with you on that ride. First, of course, giving so much kudos to your parents and being in that generation and be willing to change and expand. That is incredibly commendable. And I just say that with just awe, because again, each generation coming in at a higher vibration, closer to understanding. So to see an older generation be open to the work is really inspiring. But this is what I wanted to pinpoint that you said, and also I really related to everything you said about Judaism as well. But what's interesting for people listening too is how resistant you were, because so many people who are listening to Esther, listening to Joshua, listening to all the channels and finding other coaches and doing what they're doing to get on this journey, you hear a lot over and over that people get frustrated about their surrounding families and friends that judge what they're doing. And we always say, you are an example of alignment. Just be in that knowing. Don't worry about it. They're just a mirror for you and all of your own doubts. And you are coming forth for them as they are calling you to. And so to hear that you were, as you were younger, people who have kids who may be judging their parents for doing this and giving them a rash of shit. Why are you being a weirdo? What are you in? I can't hear with this again. This is so annoying. To know that eventually the seeds are planted in the people around you, and you don't know how they're going to come to it. But if you are with people and you are talking about a new perspective and a new approach to life, they are ready to hear that, whether or not they want to or receiving it or not. They're asking you to say that. Their higher selves and your higher selves are kikiing, like, oh, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to say it. Okay. Let's see how I handle, you know? And so I love that, to show, I'm not worried what people around you are thinking again or judging, that you just find your alignment, feel good, and be in that knowing. That's so interesting.
Yeah. I think also the judgment is we have come to find that the judgment is for us, in the sense of like, it just shows where the wobbles are, where the cracks
are. Exactly.
You know, my favorite is always to be like, if someone walked up to me and were like, you're 6'4", I'd be like, well, that's the most ridiculous thing. I actually know for certain I am 5'3". Like, you can call me 6'4" all you want. It doesn't affect me because I know this to be true. And I think it's the same way with anything we're doing or believing. Like, you can push my weeble, but I'm not going to wobble or fall down. Like, when you have a certainty, but as long as there is a wobble and as long as you feel thrown by those things, then it's just information.
It's showing up for you. Yes. It's showing up to show you.
And the conversations we have all day, every day are just this constant curiosity of like, why am I feeling that way? And like, what is this for? We must be obnoxious. Like anyone who would listen to our conversation, just have a normal conversation. Sometimes
no, sometimes barely.
Up with me, just get in the mud for 2 seconds. I don't need the work. What I need is my friend in the mud. Like, let's just be human for 2 seconds. And we do
that. And sometimes we just need, yeah. And we ask for that. We'll ask for space to have our feelings. You were there for me. I was in a really, really muddy puddle when I was coming home. So I'm shooting this TV show in Chicago. And my parents were in fear about the location of the studio, and they insisted I get a car to go to the studio. And I really was not in fear. I said to them, I'm just going to drive, but I can't force them to give me their car. So I did take the ride to the studio. And what ended up happening was I shot so late that the car service stopped running cars, and then there were no Ubers. And now here I was at 10:30 at night in the neighborhood they didn't want me to be in, walking around by myself and then not getting home to my children, not pumping, just alone, not knowing what to do, and no one around to help me. And I was pissed. I was pissed. It just kept getting worse. I waited for an Uber for 20 minutes or half hour, and then he took a wrong turn. And I called you. I know.
2 minutes to 12. Are you effing kidding me?
I was losing my mind. And we're messaging back and forth, and I'm angry. I'm angry. And I acted, of course, I was in the fear momentum and in the fear stream of consciousness. So I had urges to control the conditions, of course, which was to text my mother a bunch of garbage. I also had the urge to email my dad. I didn't do that and was very grateful the next day that I hadn't. So of course, making it worse. And then what happened was I was venting and venting and venting to you. And I said to you, I am not ready to find the higher perspective on this. And the second I said it, I was ready. That was it. I immediately started to feel better, because we're in this practice of doing this so much that I think our beliefs are getting more solidified, much like the belief of how tall you are. I mean, that's a very strong belief that you have. You believe you are this height. You know it, in fact, because you believe it so hard. And that's all the truth is. It's just a belief. That's very strong. And so if we keep practicing this, the beliefs, they're sort of cementing, I'm realizing, as I'm witnessing it happen. And it's such a fascinating, even just a third eye, that to go, oh, wow, this really is my belief. For 2 seconds, I didn't want to find the perspective, but now I'm looking to you to help me find it. Yeah. And you did. And we did together. So how would you... seeing how all these events have shaped our lives and how we're doing this every day, how do you see your life now as different as it was, say, a year ago? And I know you've been doing this work a long time, but we've sort of launched into a new level, I feel like, especially you, in the last year. So what does your life look like? A day in the life? How's your day look different?
Oh my God. I could just grab the low hanging fruit first. So I think one of the things that was really great about doing the boot camps was this encouragement to listen for and follow inspiration as it comes, and the awareness of how many ideas we have every day that we don't act upon, right? And so I started actually following those, especially if they sounded unreasonable or not logical or time, money, whatever the usual reasons and excuses are. So I think my days look different because I ride horses now, I golf now, I have private yoga lessons now. So just like, again, logistically, my days look different because I followed inspiration instead of worrying about all the things that would have kept me from doing those things. I think my days feel different because I think my relationships are richer. I think the level at which I connect with people is wildly different. I think I was really interested in the things you were saying in your opening monologue about, observing and not necessarily, what was the word you used? You're like acceptance, not necessarily agreement, but
approval. Right.
So I feel like I felt like my superpower was being a fixer. So I really wanted to change people, fix them, make things better for them with this belief that like, their life must be bad or wrong unless they are willing to, you know, to take the advice that I'm giving. There's only, you know, and so I think one of the beautiful lessons from all of this work is like, to change or fix someone is to rob them of whatever they came to explore and the time that they want to explore it and the process by which they choose to explore it. So I've learned to just really meet people where they're at and not try to fix or change. So I feel like it's made me a better daughter, a better friend, better in relating to the opposite sex, maybe even a better dog mom in some ways, certainly a better auntie with children.
With my children.
But yes, I think that relationships and collaboration, I think I was so controlling and so attached to this story of I'm alone in this, I'm an independent, that I didn't really, really appreciate or actually collaborate in a way that I am now. Like on all these things I'm creating, I think I used to need ownership for sake of the quality of it, for sake of control, for sake of my own fear of my own limitations and keeping those private and secret, you know? So now I think there's so much, everything I'm doing is collaborative right now. I'm not doing anything alone right now. And I think probably the biggest thing is this, again, to do with control, is this ease, whether it's contractual ease, whether it's performing ease, whether it's letting go of the need for perfection ease, whether it's like, you know, I used to, my poor assistant and I, right before the pandemic, like we were refining and refining and refining our system to have no holes and be so ironclad perfect that every detail from the height of my stool to the like sound check time to, I mean, just like every detail was in the contract and in the writer so that we would never have to face a manifestation event, so that we would never have to come up against some kind of a challenge that might, God forbid, throw me right before I'm about, you know what I mean? Like we were just trying to like protect ourselves. And now I'm like, it'll be what it's going to be and I'm going to be fine. And it's not about perfection. It's about connection. And so, I mean, I guess I could probably rattle on and on and on about how different my life looks and feels. It looks a lot the same in a lot of ways, which sometimes I come to you and I'm like, my life is the effing same. Like, it's not any different. What am I doing this work for? But then when I sit down and talk to you, I'm like, in the important ways, it's wildly different. And if there are things that I'm still bumping up against, the beauty now is I'm able to see that I either have resistant thought and limiting beliefs around these things that I'm attempting to create, and or for whatever reason, I'm just not a vibrational match yet. And, you know, that means continuing to like, I remember when I had my first one-on-one call with Gary and Joshua. I was like, well, how do you do that? How do you raise your vibration and how do you continue to raise it and stay there? And he's like, you get used to being really uncomfortable. You know, we're accustomed to, and I read this beautiful book called The Big Leap years ago that talks about the upper limit problem. What?
It was called The Big Leap?
Yeah.
Okay. Footnote that. We'll come back around.
Okay. Yeah, The Big Leap, right? Yeah. Gay Hendricks wrote it. And he talked about the upper limit problem, which is essentially what, you know, Joshua and Gary talk about, which is just like, we're only comfortable at a certain vibration, which is why to see people on TV that you want to save and help, 9 times out of 10, you can pluck them out of that environment and their vibration would not be a match to something better or more yet. You know, and they would run back to, you know, Stockholm syndrome. They would run back to the drugs. Mm-hmm. Back to the street, whatever the thing is, right? A lot of times it's not that people don't want to be saved, but it's just not what they're necessarily ready to explore, right? So vibrationally, I'm all over the place. Sorry.
Gay, you're not.
Big Leap, the ceiling, the sort of like upper limit problem is like you can vibrate higher, which is like my favorite example was always like after an incredible show, I would always like way back in the day, we would just go get fast food, right? We would go to Jack in the Box after the fucking great shows. Or like, then there was sort of like, I thought it was Pavlovian that like after shows now, I just want like a burger or like, let's go out and eat. Even if I wasn't hungry, but now I realize like, and same, I had a big realization around like, why when I was in Waitress and I was so happy, my life was so extraordinary on every level. Was I going home and like, eating a bag of potato chips and drinking whiskey. I'm so happy. Like, why am I doing this thing with food that usually I only do when I'm unhappy. And I had this realization with Gary and Joshua that like, that actually is you making sure that you don't stay happy. Like we're lowering that vibration. And people do it with all kinds of things. They do it with smoking and drinking and drugs and picking fights with people. And like, we do it in all sorts of crazy ways, but that awareness of like allowing myself to feel good and stay there is like, that's a gift too. So, I mean,
being again, comfortable in the high vibration at closer to 10 where we're not comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, literally I could pick out every bullet point you hit for an hour conversation, starting with how your life looks different, that you're riding horses. I could definitely talk to you for an hour about riding horses, but I want to, and I want to talk about the stuff that doesn't look different and you hit it, which is, it's just showing you where there's a limiting belief and or not a vibrational match yet for whatever reason. But I was thinking about you and your assistant trying to smooth out any potential future manifestation events where it pertains to performing. But meanwhile, you just went to New York and did 3 shows with a cold. And I mean, like a really bad chest cold. And if you want to talk about the freedom and release in that, letting go of the perfection.
Yeah. It was so funny because prior to these shows in New York, and of course, these are probably the most important shows I've done since the world reopened. I've done private stuff, but never like my show, my people, my city, like, you know. So this was going to be the first, and it was all, they were all sold out. And I was excited to be in the city and see my friends and everything. And like the second I landed in New York, I got this terrible chest cold. And if any singers, performers know, like a chest cold is, that's it. Like there's usually no way to sing around it. Like you go for it and your voice is going to be gone within like the first half. If you make it through the first night, like you're lucky, you're not coming back the second night. Right. And of course, each day it was getting progressively worse. It's not like it was like had reached its peak before I started performing. So I was really frustrated because I had just done all this work. The past year and some has been this like uninterrupted, intimate time with my voice. Cause we've been what, making videos and making recordings, and I'm doing it alone in my house. So no one is there to be like, Shoshana, we got it. It's me and my crazy perfectionist mind going over and over and over again and spending all this time editing and listening and like hearing bad habits and understanding things my voice teacher has been telling me. It's just been incredible. So I feel like I have all this skill and all these tools, and I'm ready to go freaking use them. I'm a thoroughbred who has been in training and let me out the gate. Do you know what I'm saying? That as well as like, I had just had this beautiful sort of breakthrough with Jessica, who is a lovely teacher, coach, you know, within the Joshua teachings camp. And she had helped me bust through this limiting belief, again, in line with like caring what other people think and like really worrying about my worth as associated, you know, with my career and my voice and my performing and all of that. And I'd had this massive breakthrough about like who I am as a performer and how I show up and what's actually important about that versus like the illusion of what's important about that. So I was ready on all levels. I was ready to fire on every cylinder and like, you know, have this incredible connection. My audience is what I've missed the most, you know? So I'm like, and it's New York, like stand back. And I do the first show and I didn't even really feel bad the first show, but like when it's a chest cold, there are things that happen that you can't even anticipate, like weird stuff. There's, you can't even work around it. It's
like my worst nightmare.
All the videos from that first night. And I can't even listen because you can't even hear it coming. Like, and then I'm like, oh God. So, and I did the first night and of course muscled through like the professional that I am. And it was mortifying. And I went home that night and of course woke up the next morning and it was worse. And a dear friend of mine who has helped me immeasurably with my mind body connection and my health and all, I mean, talk about like the beginning of chipping away at limiting beliefs. Nicole Sachs helped me redefine my entire vocabulary as a singer, as a performer, as a person, like what sleep means, what alcohol, sugar, what food, like all of it redefined. It's all gone. All those stories.
Do you want to plug? She has a podcast too, right?
He has a podcast. She has books, Nicole Sachs. Yeah. You can Perfect. Find her on my social media. I follow her everywhere. YouTube channel, like she's extraordinary for like chipping away at all these stories that, you know, something happens once, you're like, oh, that's worrisome. It happens twice. You're like, it's gospel. I can't perform unless I have 15 and a half. Like, you know what I mean? We're so silly that way. I can't possibly show up and be a good mother unless I, right? Like, we have all these crazy stories.
Totally.
Yeah.
But then you did show up with some sort of abandon and freedom by letting the audience know and in on what was going on. And then I imagine that connection was pretty powerful and they were on your side.
I don't know. The first night, like Nicole had told me, like, listen, just some of the greatest shows I've seen is when the artist levels with us and just lets us know, like, I don't have everything that I would like to have for you tonight, but I'm here and there's nowhere else I'd rather be. And I was like, okay. So I sort of crafted my own monologue, my own opening monologue for the show that was similar to that. Like, the last thing I wanted to do was cancel. I would like to be able to show up with all of my goods for you. I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to do this together. You might have to cover some of the high notes for me, but like, I'm here. And for me, I felt like, you know, the mask is off. The worst that could possibly happen, I've already told you, could probably happen. So if it does happen, I'm not judging myself. You were prepared. I had a ball. I think they were worried. I think the audience was scared. I think that.
But you don't know. You don't know.
The feeling of them was almost like a lean back. Like, is she going to make it? Is she okay? They warmed up as we went. The third night, they were like, F yeah. Like, let's have
I think that's a good reflection of what you were thinking, because I guarantee you said it and you still had this like, okay, are they going to be with me? That is a perfect mirror immediately, whether or not it's actually true that they were perceiving that or not, or they were just, you know, every audience has their own sort of vibe, you know?
Yeah.
But for you, that's what it meant. And so for you, that's what you perceived. And then by the next night, you were just like, fuck it. And so they were like, fuck it. Or at least that's what you perceived. And you knew they were having a good time and they were loud. And that's interesting too. Like an actual mirror right in front of you while you're on stage.
Yeah. It was like, you know, it wasn't what I wanted those shows to be, but it actually did show me how strong my voice has gotten and how much I've learned, because I never would have been able to maneuver through those shows. I wanted to show off that technique, not show off, but like, I wanted to feel that freedom.
Yeah.
I guess it would be like, if you want to use horses, it would be like a horse who's like completely toned and strong and ready for this show that like gets some kind of a foot injury. And because of all that strength is still able, I don't even know if that's possible for horses, but like the bottom line was, is because of all that strength, I was able to sustain and survive those shows in a way that I wouldn't have without that. I didn't get to show off in the way I wanted to. Right.
But that was so beneficial, because even now, as you have more gigs coming up, I feel when I talk to you, there is not a presence of that same kind of fear of perfection. And you seem to say, well, I know no matter what, I'll be fine. It's going to be great. I can handle anything. And so that gift, and this is coming from where you were when years ago, if a monitor wasn't on or a guitarist wasn't in the pocket, I could see on your face.
Yeah, it needed to be perfect. It needed to be perfect. And if it wasn't, I just.
So now skip two, you're sick as a dog, croaking out some stuff, sounding fierce, hitting some, not hitting some, things happening, things not happening. I mean, that journey between those two women is unrecognizable. And so much about you, I mean, I've witnessed so much change. And even as you were saying, meeting people where they are and not being a fix. I mean, you're the most gracious friend. You allow people space to have their feelings. You meet them where they are. You are accepting. And also, you can handle other people's fears without making them your own, without it activating your own fear. So I will come to you, for example, and I will say, show, I don't know if you're gonna be mad at me. Like, I know I'm gonna say this thing, like, don't be annoyed with me. And how many times do you say, those days are over. That's not our friendship anymore. And if there is a negative emotion that's activated, then we come to each other knowing a fear or limiting belief has been activated. And that's how we approach it. It's so fascinating.
Yeah, it's really different. We used to be really wonderful triggers for each other. And the cool part is like now we're never usually in it at the same time. Like one of us will be triggered that one cools off. Like I'm thinking of the conversation of when I was leaving the movie a couple weeks ago. Remember? Are we allowed to talk about things like that?
Yeah. Go ahead. Whatever you want.
I don't have people here. Like I don't have the friends that I need.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I didn't know what you were saying. I didn't realize I was after them. Yes. And it's so crazy because I took that so personally and I lost my mind because again, this fear of what people think, this fear of needing to be appreciated, this as if somebody doesn't appreciate you, you are going to evaporate into nothingness. Right. And what was so funny about that, I mean, I say funny now, you handled it with such with love. You added love to the balloon. You poured love into the reality. You were there for me. And of course, working that out together, it just made our connection deeper and stronger as it continues to do. When I can't think we could even get closer, we somehow continue to get closer and closer. And then a month or two later, I witnessed that same exact interaction with two other friends of mine, where one friend says,
"Tell me that."
Yeah. Where one said something like, "I don't have anyone." And the other friend, and I have so much compassion because I had just been there, really her fear was activated and she cut ties for a minute and really disengaged, which, you know, to do that, to disengage, disconnect is fear, to connect is love. Always. It's just a good steadfast rule, or as Shoshana would say, low hanging fruit. There are certain things that you can always fall back on knowing if you're wondering if you're in alignment or not in alignment. And I watched it happen and it was fascinating to actually zoom out and witness it. And you know, what's funny about that was I knew better to just stay out of it. It had nothing to do with me. I didn't have to get in it. That would have been my being uncomfortable with the negative feelings. That would have been me trying to fix it to make myself feel better, because if they feel better, then I can feel better.
Yeah.
But I knew it would just, it was meant to be. And I would never have wanted somebody to interfere with what had happened between us. It unfolded perfectly.
That was a mouthful. Like we have become so, we have previously been so conditioned to get out of discomfort that a lot of what we talk about, what you talk about here, what you and I talk about is just being able to sit for a second in the discomfort. Mm-hmm. Of two people having a conflict, of a conflict with another person and you, of not quite being sure if that person's up, like just being able to sit for a second and be like, if they are, it's okay. It doesn't mean anything about me. It's for both of us, you know, like, again, being curious about like, what could this be? I just think we just were so, everyone's knee jerk response is like, tears are bad. Anger is bad. Fights are bad. Discomfort. Get out of the discomfort, which is where the control comes from. Everyone is just like so control happy to just not be uncomfortable.
And that's what's so brilliant is that when you start to take yourself out of that and just let it unfold, number one, if you jump in, you're adding fear to the situation. It's only going to become more of what you don't want and make you feel more negative emotions. But it's easier to just sit back and say, they'll figure it out. It has nothing to do with me. My feelings are just my own things. I mean, this happened. I'm with staying with my parents right now while we shoot The Big Leap. That's the name of the show. Yes, ma'am. On Fox, y'all, premiering on September 20th at 8:00.
I haven't watched the trailer on YouTube.
Oh my goodness. The Big Leap. I cut you off. It sounded like you said you didn't watch the trailer, but you did watch the trailer.
Well, I was saying, if you haven't, if you listeners have not watched it, it's a whole movie in 3 minutes. It's insane.
It's so good. My husband producing it and directed pilot and it's directing. And that's why we're here in Chicago and I'm in it and it's fun. I don't even know what I was saying. So I'm here doing The Big Leap and there's no coincidences. Nothing is random. These are all just little cues to show us that we're exactly where we're supposed to be. Right. So my sister and I had the biggest manifestation event we've had in years because I was having manifestation events with my parents because I'm in their house with two small children and God love us all. We're doing our best But it's a shit show. But also, it's not nearly the shit show it would have been. And we've gotten into a rhythm and it's phenomenal. And I'm so grateful for them. I'm in such gratitude. But my poor sister heard me kvetching and it made her so uncomfortable. And she really, really wanted to fix it. And was, I said, I know what needs to happen. I know what you both need to see now. But the only person that needs to solve my life is me, and the same with my mom and the same with my sister. And it was a crazy moment because I was actually not aligned. She was not aligned. She was trying to tell me she hadn't gotten any sleep and I wasn't able to receive it because it was a cluster. And we were both were saying, you're inferior, you're trying to control me. I'm here, whatever. And I just took a couple deep breaths, got myself together and said, I'm ready. What do you want to say? And she said, you're not being grateful. And I said, you're absolutely right. Of course I'm not being grateful. When I'm in a negative space, gratitude and appreciation are a vibration with abundance and are a vibration with alignment and with flow. And if you're not feeling aligned and you're not in the flow, you certainly have a hard time feeling that gratitude. You may think it intellectually, but you don't feel it. I don't know. It's just a fascinating thing when you just accept people. It all comes back to how this whole episode started, which is no one can know what you're here to do, what anyone's here to do. You, and you've said this, you got to water your garden. You are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, right? We are starting to learn that. No one else knows who they are. No one else can know who you are if they don't know who they are. We're all in the process of figuring that out. Once you start to see that that's who you are, then all you are going to do is express love and you won't need to fix anything or worry about what anyone else is doing or the uncomfortable feelings it gives you. You'll just know, oh, I feel my signal in the form of negative emotions that my inner guides are sending me. Thank you for that information. I can now process some limiting belief and get myself back into alignment. And that's all it is. It's just a non-physical message.
Yeah. We have these, we were talking about it. I was riding this morning and there is this kid who really wants to ride, but like isn't showing up for the lessons. Or her mom was there and was saying like, she loves the horses. She wants to ride, but she just doesn't really do well with people telling her what to do. And I said, oh, I can completely relate to that. I'm the queen of like not being told what to do. So I said, for me, it's feeling like I don't have freedom. Like I don't have freedom of expression or like I don't have space. I feel really trapped when people like boss me. And I said, and the other thing is like, I think it makes me feel like I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'm bad. We are so conditioned when we're young that there is good and bad. There is right and wrong. Wrong and bad are the worst feelings in the world. So usually when we have conflict with people, both parties are sitting here like, I'm not going to be the wrong one. I'm not going to be the bad one. And so I've watched it happen. I watched it happen in my living room a couple of weeks ago. Two friends of mine were rehashing some shit that happened years ago. And I just watched them dig their heels in because they weren't going to be the wrong one. And yes. We are all so like well-trained to just like
condition for what that means.
And like, if you just didn't want your sister to call out something that would make you feel like a wrong or bad daughter. And then when you had the space to be like, you can say what you need to say. I'm not going to make it mean anything about me. I can receive that. Like it's really fascinating and challenging. And I feel like, yes, am I in fear? Or am I in love? Sometimes is muddy waters for people. I think the thing that I love is what Esther always says, which is like, is this upstream or downstream? Is this the path of least resistance or is there resistance present? And that is like fear or love, upstream, downstream, path of least resistance are such great litmus tests for like, what am I coming with? Like, where am I coming from? What am I coming in? You know? I feel like what needs to be said is just like grace and compassion for oneself, because you have to understand.
Amen.
Is from the time we're born and it's that muscle is so strong. And so sort of retraining these muscles, it's like, it takes a second, you know,
which is why we created this persona of a nice person, of a good friend, of a generous friend, of someone who's funny. We created this so people would think we are good.
Yeah.
But it's false because we're already inherently good. as is everyone else. So it's inauthentic.
Yeah.
It's just what we're presenting to the world. You know, this is interesting because you were talking about collaborating and bringing that back for one second. Everything you said, I really related to in terms of, I've always felt like I've got to carry, I'm the one, but that was even because of my own limitations and having fears of my own limitations and yet seeking control over the thing. There was a lot that you said there that was articulated so beautifully. And what's fascinating about when we started, I mean, think about those two personalities having a similar game going on there, collaborating. That could be a real, you know, nuclear bomb, so to speak.
It started that way, if you recall.
It did. And I asked my guides about it. And they said to listen. They said, you are coming to the table with all your ideas, but those others coming to the table have amazing ideas that are also inspired. And all you need to do is listen and receive. And that, I never told you that. So everyone listening in is discovering this private moment between us. That was for me a turning point. And man, was that the best advice I could have gotten, because you are the funniest. Your ideas are so grounded and real and epic. And when we get on a roll, it is like we are just giggling as though we invented the wheel.
It's true. But it was, for me, it was the same thing of like, we just kept like in the beginning, we just kept like butting heads almost, or like everyone was just, I think we were all just like terrified because we were all, we weren't really sure we wanted to do. I think all of us felt ill-equipped. I think we were all concerned that we had different ways of going about things, different processes. And I think everyone just came into each call with like, I'm already prepared for like, you know, I just feel like we all came
fear.
In total fear.
But I'm so glad that we kept showing up because I've learned so much from that.
Yeah.
That's interesting for people to hear, you know, who are collaborating at work or in, especially in a collaboration where you have no control over the collaboration, you're put with people to sort of see everything with curiosity and as an adventure. And what can I learn through this? And what can I learn about myself? Cause that's really what we're seeking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've used to be, like I said, I just used to be a lone soldier. I just, it was, collaboration was not, depending on the person, right? Depending on the person.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't make an album by myself. So there are obviously people who I've decided I respect enough, are worthy enough to let me have enough control, right? There are people who will acquiesce to my demands.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'm going to have the final say. But this year, like between what you and I are building, between what my sister and I are building, and then the nonprofit that I'm building with Front, like truly, I just feel like as much as, again, I think it's more my fear of not being good enough or not being adequate in these spaces, because they have great freaking ideas. You have great, like, and so I have to just not allow that to diminish like my intelligence or my thoughtfulness or whatever it is. And really, I've found for me, not just control, it's really insecurity of just—
Oh, for sure. And the stories we've told ourselves, I'm good at this. That's not my thing. That's your thing. This is what I do. Those are all so limiting and they're all bullshit at the end of the day. And then what happens when you're feeling insecure is ego. Then you fight for the thing. So if you have an idea and someone is not receiving that idea or is not interested in that idea, what do we make that mean about ourselves? Oh, I had a stupid idea. They don't like my ideas. Okay, I'm terrible. And then we get all so, it moves so fast. I'm always so amazed at how fast we move through these dimensions and how fast these emotions can go. And, you know, Esther and Joshua talk so much about momentum, and man, is it true, right? If you're in a collaboration and one idea is rejected, you can see how that spirals downward real fast.
Yeah.
I activate your insecurity. You activate my unworthiness. I, you know, hit you with a double whammy of rejection, and, you know, it's ridiculous and it goes so fast. So that's another thing. It's just about, as we talked about in the opening, stopping the momentum downward and at least hitting the pause button. If you are not able to get into alignment, at least just stop. Don't add the fear. What for you do you find are the best ways to get into alignment when you really are having trouble?
Gosh, I mean, the easiest for me is to turn on a podcast. The easiest for me is to turn on Esther Hicks, because I already know, even if I don't effort anything, her information is coming from a higher vibration. So just by virtue of listening, I'm already being pulled up a notch or two, right? Riding horses shifts me out. The other night I was going to ride and I was in a pissy mood and you were like, I'm so glad you're going to ride right now. And sure enough, at the end of my ride, I was like totally blissed out. So I think things that get you really present, whatever that is for people, if it's sewing, if it's going running, I know running for you is hugely meditative.
And I started tennis this year. So now tennis feels like, I feel like I'm flying, all those things. And then we talk about meditation a lot and we have a lot of very in-depth conversations about meditation.
I go back and forth. Sometimes I do enjoy one of the guided ones usually because they're shorter, like, you know, than to do a silent 20 minute or one of Teal's like 40 minute meditation processes. But yeah, meditation for sure. You and I have gotten really into the writing. Like, you know, I've sort of merged Nicole Sachs's process, which is called journal speak, which sort of gets the venom out. But what's interesting now is also, or like Artist's Way, if anyone's done Artist's Way morning pages, it's sort of like a stream of consciousness, just taking, Nicole always says, like, just take the ladle and spoon out, take the water level down, do you know what I mean? Just like make some space. Because I think we get so crowded and so sort of frantic up here in our thoughts sometimes that we can't hear inspiration or we can't hear the more aligned thoughts or be more aligned. So journaling a lot, like I said, I'll start with the ladling out and the sort of ranting about all the stuff that's in the space, and very quickly now, mm-hmm. which is not necessarily like journal speak technique, but very quickly now, my inner self will sort of take over and start sharing what's the higher perspective and what's perfect about it. So that has writing and Abraham Hicks books have the Ask and It Is Given book has a bunch of tools in the back for getting.
Oh, there you go. That's great.
So I think something Jackie and I talk about, and we've been talking about recently, is like when you're feeling some type of way that you know is out of alignment, whether it's just a little out or whether it's a lot out, something that's really important that Esther talks about a lot is just getting to the next better feeling. You don't have to get all the way to blissed out the way we feel after a great meditation or a ride or a run. Like you may
What's the next thought that is just one bit more positive? And I just love your term low hanging fruit. You can always come back to this too shall pass. I can handle this. The universe won't give me more than I can handle. This is just temporary. I am okay. It will all be okay. I'd like to make a sandwich. I'd like to go take a walk. I'm going to call a friend. Just one thing that is showing up in a different way than how you were the moment before, that's slightly more positive, and you start to work your way up to total alignment. And one of the things we talked about, Esther's podcast recently, where this guy was challenging her about meditation.
Yeah, he was like, I guarantee you, he was basically saying like, I'm over here busting my ass and all these other people are building empires. Where's mine? That's basically what his complaint was.
Yes.
He was like, because I guarantee you, I meditate more than like the rapper 50 Cent. And she was like, we happen to know that that is not
true.
Because he meditates while he raps.
The
way she said it. I was cooking in the kitchen. I was like, Jackie! Podcast is freaking fire, because
that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I do feel like it frees people to understand the purpose of meditation. The purpose of meditation is ultimately just to get you into alignment. If you knitting get there, if you, what I like to call active meditation, I go for a run. If I'm feeling angsty and I need to burn off energy and get into alignment, I got to do that physically. And if it's for you, rapping, dancing, I mean, dancing is a big one. Letting your body go. I was just telling you singing. I was just telling you this week, my daughter was on the driveway dancing to Zootopia soundtrack, singing, Mommy, I'm free. I'm so free. And I just in that moment thought, oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I said, you are, baby. You're free. That's it.
Yeah.
that's what we're trying to feel all the time, every day. We're seeking that sense of well-being in every moment of every day. And anything that pulls us out is just fear. It's just a distraction. It's just the contrast. It's just a thing for us to push against in order to reclaim what we already know in the non-physical and in our bones, that we are free, we are abundant, we are worthy, we are love, we are here as love, giving love, experiencing love, even if it doesn't look like it, having faith that that's what we're doing here. We're creating, we're co-creating with other beings of love, and that's what we're working our way towards. And I just want to thank Shoshana Bean for joining us on this incredibly fortunate moment that you could be here. I know that so much of what you said is going to resonate with people, and please come back and join us again. And if anyone has any questions, you can, you know, DM me at, I've never really done this, but the inspiration's coming. DM me at the Jackie Seiden and ask me questions if you have questions, and we'll talk about those here and maybe we'll work those out.
Yeah. She's a great coach. Guys, she's walking beside me every day through this process. So
I was actually just going to say that you, your channeling, your guides have been such an inspiration to me of helping me find my voice. I mean, you are the one that led me to find my voice. And I actually talked about you when Gary was on, about how you kept telling me, I mean, for how long, Jackie, just journal. Jackie, you got to journal. Are you journaling about it though? But are you journaling? Yes. No, I hear that, but are you journaling? And I resisted and resisted and resisted and resisted. And the second I opened that computer, my life changed forever.
I love it. I'm so proud of you.
I love you. And I'm so proud of you. And I'm going to go watch you ride a horse. And the next time we're on, I'd like to talk about when people invite you to do things you don't want to do.
Ooh.
Right? I
talked that with a friend today. That's an easy answer.
Joshua said, he said that you don't have to do it. Or is it a yes and push past the fear?
Yes for me. And then I have to just do the work to get myself out of resistance and into alignment with it. And I haven't regretted it yet. Just the one time I regretted it is when I didn't push through the fear and go. And I called you and I was like, why didn't I go? Yeah, no, it has not been an issue for me.
You've been coming from yes. Well, this is an interesting conversation. I wanted to like take a deep dive on this.
Do it. I love you.
I love you so much.
Thanks. All right.
Thank you, everybody. She is the best, isn't she? To know Shoshana is to love her. I hope you got to experience her in a different way today after listening to that podcast. We had the best time. She'll definitely come back on. And yeah, why don't you, if you have any questions, go ahead and get on the Insta. DM me at the Jackie Seiden, JACKIESEIDEN. And if maybe we'll pick your question and talk about it. How cool would that be? Thank you again for joining us. As always, this is Jackie Seiden sending love.